نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في قرآن مجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على مولانا المجد البدن المجد والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله ألف ألف مرة اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد.
The gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from him, a question was put forward that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most greatest salah is which one? Which is the greatest prayer? Big question. That all the salah that we perform from these prayers, which one of ours will be the greatest? So what we learn here is that any action, it is not always the same. Rather, some actions according to darajat are less, or some are higher, and some are extremely high in the status. So even in this hadith, the question is on this point, that the prayer, the salah, high level in the eyes of Allah, which one will that be? And the more higher an amal, an action is, the greater it is, then it will be more accepted to Allah, and the rewards for the action also will be greater, more, and the status of that action will be higher. So that's why it's required for us that every action, don't just think, oh, that I've done this, or oh, I've prayed salah, or oh, I've done this action so and so. No, alongside that there should be another fikr, a concern in parallel, that our action should be executed in such a manner that it's executed in an excellent way. So what we learn here is that number one is that a person has yaqeen, certainty, that after this action of mine will be weighed. Somebody is going to look at it. There's going to be reward given for it. There'll be some gift given for it. When you have this yaqeen and faith, then obviously you'll put some effort into the action. It should be good and better, so that I, in the court of Allah, I can receive the reward for this. So the noble companions had this passion when they practiced. Whenever you do an amal, same way, then always have this concern that this amal, this action, I should develop it and practice it in the highest manner. When you pray salah, you just say, oh, I prayed salah, oh, it's gone, it's finished, oh, whatever it was. But what we should see and assess afterwards is that I should present the most best form of salah. So this question the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, that which prayer of ours will be the best? Prayer we do, but what will be the high status of salah that we can attain? So the next question then after that, the O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first question was asked, then the second question was asked, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that most of all highest level fast, which one will that be? So they're coming towards amal here again, isn't it? Yes, we obviously fast. So which will be the best fast in the court of Allah? And the third question, another amal, another action. That, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you know when we have a quarrel with somebody who's against us and we give our, for example, our effort and energy. So which will be the best tussle and clash in the eyes of Allah that will give the highest reward? So three great actions. So all amal come into this, isn't it? Small, big, everything comes into these. So now listen to the answer that was given. And this is a great, great hint for us, a great, you could say, direction, that how can we make our amal better? How can we make them more polished and higher quality, so that their clothes are accepted in the court of Allah, and we get more rewards. So this is a benefit for us. So brothers, will we cure this, or will you just keep praying salah for the sake of it? Don't just pray salah, develop your salah to the highest grade. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, he was asked, that O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, number one, which is the greatest salah, best salah that will give us the highest status? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the answer, the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Then he was asked, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that what will be for us our greatest fast, the best fast? The Rasulullah SAW replied, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Then he was asked, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that regarding the clash, and when we are, somebody's against us, and then we are against that, when we are making effort against that person, what is the best form? And he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, replied, dhikr of Allah. Then he stated, subhanAllah, that in that action, in whichever action there is dhikr of Allah, then that amal is accepted in the court of Allah, near to Allah. What a great point and secret and learning that Rasulullah has taught us, that an action becomes accepted. Maqbool. In other words, you pray salah, you don't know is your salah accepted or not. You've done hajj, you don't know is it accepted or not. You've just done it, read it, performed it. Allah's karam, does he accept it or not? Obviously we are human beings, we make thousands of mistakes, thousands of errors. But here there's a guarantee Allah's Nabi is giving, that if the Prophet of Allah is giving a guarantee, then there's no doubt that remains, alhamdulillah. Then from Allah Ta'ala there's a confirmation that Nabi's guarantee is the confirmation of Allah. Yes, Allah Ta'ala doesn't speak, he speaks through the Prophet, his speech. And what a great, you could say, good piece of news for us, that if you want that your salah is on a high level and accepted, if you want your fast to be high level and accepted by Allah, elevated, if you want that your efforts and all of the efforts that you make against those people or against you, that they are accepted by Allah, and all the actions that you do, you want them accepted by Allah, then remember, do the dhikr of Allah in parallel. That's why it's stated by Allah, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah doesn't have no need for our kathir dhikr. Allah, what benefit is going to Allah for the dhikr that we do, tell me? Our tongues, are they so pure that they are benefiting Allah? Allah has angels, millions close to Him, muqarrabeen, angels that remember Allah. Allah has no need for us. Our dhikr. So it's our benefit if we do these things. That any worship you do, any ibadah you do, there'll be thousands of mistakes, thousands of desires of the nafs contaminated in those actions, thousands of other obstacles. How will your deeds reach to me? Allah says that when you practice, you're not doing it on the action according to the right that's due. There's showing off, there's pretense, there's hasad, there's envy, there's wasteful talk, thousands of defects inside us that spoil our actions, isn't it? And if you do dhikr in parallel with that, Allah says that you do ibadah with all these defects, that when we stand in a line praying salah, and there'll be enmity between people in the same row of salah. Think about the quality of our prayer. Yes, there'll be some point in my heart or another, I've seen a few times there are two people standing together, and the musallis, they're quarreling with each other in the same row, in the same masjid. I've seen it. Quarrel, dispute, because we're insan. Human being, there's malice in our hearts, hatred, and we're fighting against each other, and we're stood together, and we're stood next to each other, stuck together, but we're fighting against each other, saying bad to each other, criticizing each other, hating each other. So where will these salah goes? Will they go close to Allah? So Allah's grace and mercy on us, and blessing and His fadl on us, He's given us a solution, a bypass, such an ibadah. Allah says that if you do this action, then all of your actions, Allah says, I'll accept them. Dirty actions, useless, bonafide. You might come to pray salah, but don't stop from this action. Don't think I'm dirty, impure, why should I pray salah? Oh, I've done a sin, and how can I pray my salah? Oh, I'm sinful. Because you feel ashamed, isn't it, human being, that I swore to somebody outside, and I fought with people, and now I'm going to pray salah. Or, you know, I've done this wrong, how can I pray salah? Or how can I do this action? What a great solution, Allah says. Doesn't matter how you are, dirty, impure, but do this amal, definitely, Allah says. Definitely do this amal. But alongside your worship and actions in parallel, Allah says, if you do my dhikr ongoing and you remember me, Allah says, then every action of yours I'll accept, regardless of the quality of it. What a big guarantee. So brothers, dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, an action. How much benefit there is for us in this. So I'm speaking so that we encourage each other. Because we are very far from dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, what a great wali Allah he was, eh? Shaykhul Hadith. And everyone has their own experiences and what they see. He used to give tabligh, he used to propagate deen, go amongst people. He wrote such a great kitab, Fazaili Amal. And he was aware of the nafs of the ummah. Allah gave him the understanding of the ummah. Allah gave him vision, eyesight and vision, foresight, that he could see what was happening in the ummah. And what a great sadqa jariyah that he gave to the ummah. And this was his statement. There's not some minor points that the wali of Allah says. What a great statement. He said that in the dunya that we see fasad, we see quarrels and fighting, dispute, and away from the deen he's talking about. What's the reason for this? He's telling us. Then these people, amongst these people, because the walis of Allah, they get ilham, inspiration, divine, and they have to spread the words to the ummah, they have to rectify the ummah, they have to do islah of the ummah, because they are the deputies of the Prophet on earth. Yes, they don't speak for fame and give big speeches for fame and recognition. No, in their words, in their statements, there are fantastic learnings and solutions. And they grab the solution, and whoever listens to them and takes that solution, they succeed. So Allah Ta'ala puts a word or a thought into their heart, because he knew thousands, he had hundreds of thousands of people who knew him, who followed him. And so listen to the pious people carefully. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So what a valuable, precious statement of his, that he drew a sketch of the ummah. And what is our hal today? Our situation today? From the house, from the family, outside, town, city, country. I'm talking about the people of Iman, Muslims. How much facade there is amongst us. How many quarrels there are amongst us. How much, you could say, people are away from the deen. Distant from the deen. Not that they don't recite the kalima. No. La deeni, without the deen. In that, there's no sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. If his sharia is not in our life, then that person's away from deen. He's an Islamic, that person. Today in our society, how much do we practice the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tell me, how much do we obey his orders sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much? We hide his obedience. We hide the sins. How do we digest such big sins that we commit? Tell me. How do we just digest them? Just like a person who does zina, adultery, he digests his zina. Oh, it's okay, it's no problem. Person drinks alcohol, becomes habitual, says, no, it's nothing, it's okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. Drinks alcohol. Person commits sins, he becomes habitual. Because sinning for that person, just a small thing. This is the hal today. That the sunnah of Rasulullah, the ummah has left it to this extent. Oh, it's nothing. It doesn't make any difference. We don't practice the sunnah. For which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Allah announces in the Quran, Ati'ur Rasul faqad ata Allah. That when you obey my Prophet, his obedience is so important, essential. You must do it. He's demonstrated his sunnah to you in any action. Libas, clothes, your face, your appearance, your walking, your wandering, your drinking, your eating. He's demonstrated. He said, do it like this. Practice like this. We're running around saying, oh, will there be a punishment if I don't do it? Or is it necessary? Is it compulsory? If Rasulullah has said it, then consider that it's received and we've attained that in our life, then Allah will weigh the action. That he was the most beloved human being in the sight of Allah. Who are you deceiving by leaving his sunnah? But because there's facade in the world, there's fitna, discord, there's corruption. So un-Islamic practices have come in the ummah. Such a great ummah, we have the greatest Nabi. But we leave his sunnah, we're not even ashamed in leaving his sunnah. We don't even care. No, it's okay. Oh, we have to follow the generation we're in, the new era, the modern society. What would people say if they see us doing these things? But we don't know that in the grave, the question will be asked when you're in the grave. Will be asked, did you follow Allah's orders? Next question, number two. Who is Man Rasulukum? Did you imitate him? Did you obey his orders? Did you follow his lifestyle? What answer will I give when question number two comes in the grave? We don't understand this. So this is an Islamic lifestyle. No deen. So the reason for this has been told us. Why is it that the Muslim ummah, the Muslim society today, with regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't think about him, we don't think about his lifestyle, we commit big sins, we have no recognition in the house, children, wife, family. Ah, it's okay, khair, it's alright. Servants of Allah, we have to die. Death will come to each and one of us. So from death, these questions will be asked. How can you hide yourself in the world today? How can you change the deen? This deen that Allah has written in the Quran until the day of judgment is the same deen. And Rasulullah said the ups and downs will come. But those people who stick to this deen that Allah's Nabi has told us the recognition, the cure, then they will never fall into deceit and they will leave this world successful. The accounts being given by Rasulullah ﷺ that when such problems come, an Islamic lifestyle, society, facade, and it's so hard to follow the sunnah, then today there's no weight of the sunnah, there's no respect of the sunnah, there's no respect of Rasulullah ﷺ sunnah in our society today. It's not in our lives. We've made our own deen, Islam, this is the way to practice, this is more important, we say. That tariqah, that style that Allah defined, follow Islam like this, in our eyes, it's not important. It's not important. We put some practices high, some low, some we say are necessary, some we just throw away to the side. We don't care. The way Rasulullah ﷺ defined the deen, A to Z, he put importance on things. Do it the way the Sahaba did it. So this is an Islamic way that we see around us, that we have no care today, no feelings. And that's what's around us. As a Shaykh al-Hadith, Rahmatullah said, what's the reason that people are Islamic? He saw kashf. Or if Al-Kashf, Allah Ta'ala explained to him to rectify the Ummah, to correct the Ummah, then he wrote it in his Kitab. With Allah's help, he's explaining and telling the people. And today, in front of you, I'm also repeating his statement to you. For this reason, so that the practice comes in our life. That's why I'm sharing with you. So we get courage, determination. How do we know that tomorrow there will be life for us? So one brother was telling me recently, I was surprised when I heard it. Actually, shouldn't be surprised. How do we know that when we leave the masjid, that what will happen when you leave the masjid? Will you be alive? Maybe whilst you're sitting, suddenly something will happen to you, pass away. This is life, there's no guarantee. Yesterday there was a brother, he was working in the office. We heard about that. And then his wife phoned. They quickly come, because I don't know what's happened, the cats come out of the house, or some maybe the pets left the house, he's going to cut, maybe somebody, or so he came, left the workplace on the cycle, left his office to go home. And when he left the office, and he was riding his bike, and then he turned the bike to one side, he fell off, and he broke a bone, or his back broke, quite a few bones of his broke, and he was a fit young man. And his wife's waiting at my home, and what does she know, that he's arrived to the hospital and they declared that he's in a serious critical condition. And a few moments before that, did he know? So why do we guarantee ourselves that things are just going to happen the way we want? What guarantee there is for my life? What have we done in our lives? What have we prepared for? That if you ask somebody, did you pray in the morning? Did you pray that salah which is the greatest? Did you go to the dhikr of Allah? The dhikr that I told you, did you do it that way? Did you do this action? No answer, silence. Silence. Think for yourself. Think about your grave. Think about your grave, where you're going to go. It's not far, your grave's not far. I can give you various examples today, fresh examples in my mind. I've just told you one. Yes, or what? Why should we be scared of death? We should be preparing for death. Don't be scared of death. So such a great action Rasulullah has told us. So we are reminding that Rasulullah is repeating that, confirming that he was doing tabligh. He said, what's the reason that there's an Islamic lifestyle in our society? We don't follow the tariqah. What's the reason there's fasad, corruption in the dunya? What's the reason for this underlying current? He said, the reason for it is that, he listened carefully. He said, because we are far from the dhikr of Allah. Those people, society, human beings, individuals who leave dhikr of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala breaks the connection with those people or that person. Allah Ta'ala's connection, the more you leave the dhikr of Allah, the more further you will go away from Allah. The more you do dhikr, the closer you come to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah says, remember me, I'll remember you. You forget me, Allah says, I'll forget you. Yes? So this is the balance that Allah Ta'ala has struck here. So if we want my deen to be improved, my dunya to be improved, my children to be improved, my business to be improved, my distresses to go away, my Islamic way to improve, then what's the solution? That we need to strengthen our connection with Allah. We need to get closer to Allah. And if you get closer to Allah, then you'll attain Allah's nearness. When you go far from Allah, then you'll get shaitan as your companion, because shaitan is close and Allah is far. But when you go close to Allah, you'll get near to Allah. And the more you go further away from Allah, then shaitan will come close to you. So what this means is that the person who does dhikr of Allah, he's close to Allah. And he who doesn't do dhikr, he is close to shaitan. He's close to shaitan. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So say subhanallah then. Yes, because at least praise Allah when you hear something good. Why are you just sat there silent? You must have courage, determination, change your life, improve your life, get closer to Allah. What a great solution, what a great guarantee. Think about it, tell me. That all your distress, sorrows, problems, the solution has been prescribed, get close to Allah. And how can you get close to Allah? Free action, no cost, no spending money. Allah's given it to us. Allah says, just remember me, that's it. Do my dhikr, Allah says. And when we're sad here. We're not sad for a game. I'm not a magician here talking to you. It's not my duty to come to in this masjid. It's not the situation I have to give speeches or tell you. No. What is this gathering? It's the fadl of Allah, this gathering. The grace of Allah. That it's not fadl on you. It's fadl on me that Allah sat me down here. Otherwise, how did I know I'm going to sit here? Allah has enabled this. With the fadl of Allah, we will assemble together. We talk together so that we can learn and get to Jannah. Paradise, what beautiful words we discuss and share. It's not for me. You haven't come here for me, have you? It's not my duty in the masjid. No, what difference does it make to me? What's my job? Yes, I could. Are there thousands of tasks I could do? Thousands of tasks in the day. I've got other issues, thousands of issues. But it's the fadl of Allah. Look at Allah's grace. That Allah has assembled us together, joined us together. We sat here. Allah has put into us khawf and fear so we can discuss and save ourselves. Otherwise, it's not my duty that I call you here, discuss with you. So what is it? Allah's fadl, His grace, that Allah's just sat me down here. Allah's gathered you here together. What are we discussing? What are we talking about? Those points, so our hearts are accepting that we need to attain Jannah. And Allah's given us the solution. So will you do dhikr of Allah or won't you do the dhikr of Allah? Yes, what we should do is that even if you don't listen now and your brains don't allow you to understand, I've told you hadith and Quran, that the goodness, the solution Allah's pointing to what action? His remembrance. Then why don't we do dhikr of Allah? Well, we don't know. The answer, we're still monkeys and like animals. Why? Yes, morning there's a majlis, evening there's a majlis here. We're not here. No one's here. And do you come for me? Yes, I say for myself that you don't come here for me. We should be grateful to Allah when we attend the majlis of dhikr. I'm grateful you've established a majlis here in our vicinity. It's your extreme mercy that I can sit down, correct myself and create your love in my heart, Allah. My friends, we are running after the dunya. My dad, some want my business to flourish, some want this, some want this to succeed. But we don't want to go to Allah. We want to knock on this man's door, beg at that person's door, beg at this person's feet. For the sake of Allah, come to Fajr, pray Fajr Salah, and ask for Allah in this house and you'll get everything. But we don't want to come. Yes, Allah has given us a path. Solution, the king orders you come from this door and I'm giving the treasures out, the treasure out. Is he a foolish person who won't go in that door? He'll go running to that door that the king said, come in that door, I'll give you all the jewels and millions of pounds, I'll distribute, give to you. Tell me, which door will that person go through? Straight he'll go to that door that the king defined, or will go to some other door. So how foolish, stupid we are. Allah says, come, pray Fajr, sit down in dhikr. I've sat at Darvesh, a teacher who will host the dhikr and teach this to you. Yes, that's what he's doing. And Allah Ta'ala Subhanahu, Allah says, I've created a human being for you to serve you, and he will sit there. Come and take the treasures, loot the treasures, take the ni'mas of Allah. And somebody's got a stomachache, somebody's got a cough, somebody's got an illness, somebody's got more sleep, someone's drowsy, someone's busy in the world. Who's going to come? Yeah, whose loss is it? Whose loss is it? Tell me. So come. Come. Everything is from Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given all solutions in His remembrance, in His dhikr. Remember this. So this is the statement of the Prophet of Allah ﷺ that I've told you. That action, whatever action you do, do it in parallel with the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. What will happen then? Another hadith. Any action that you do alongside the dhikr of Allah, with the remembrance of Allah, then Allah will instill barakah, blessings into that action. What other guarantee do we need? Barakat, blessings. Yes? Not quantity. Even if you've got £5 in your pocket, alhamdulillah, but they won't finish that £5. All your needs will be fulfilled. Your car won't be punctured, sickness won't come to you, and you won't wastefully spend your money. Barakat, you know, people spend here and there and there, and it's all sicknesses and illnesses. Allah will evaporate them, they will disappear. Allah says, here's £5, it will last a long time. You'll have no fikr, no concern. Why? Because Allah has given the solution that come from this door, but nobody wants to go in that door. Only those few people, those poor souls who sit here, who alhamdulillah, subhanallah, how Allah has given them understanding that from millions of people, only 15, 20 people sit and do dhikr of Allah. Is this the answer? Those are the people given the day of judgment, and only this many people lived in Bolton? Is it? Just this many people? Only this many people lived in Bolton? Who want to do? You will go to paradise and ask Allah for paradise, and you'll ask Allah for Rasulullah's intercession on the day of judgment. Tell me, will you not ask that? Did you not obey my orders? Allah will say, that Allah says that so beloved was this action of my dhikr that I prescribed to you, so beloved was his action to Rasulullah that there was a group of Sahaba sitting and the Prophet ﷺ was passing by that group and he saw his beloved Sahaba in the masjid and they were sat together. It's a hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ stopped, he halted and he asked them, he questioned them, what are you doing? And the noble companions, they were a little bit scared that maybe if we've done something wrong, that he suddenly, ﷺ is asking us. They said, Ya Rasulullah, ﷺ, we're not doing anything. We're just doing the action that you encouraged us to do. How can we do any other action? That just an ummah will come, after some time they'll do something that you didn't tell them, and they will make that deen. They will make their actions deen, which has no relationship with the deen. And the actions that are connected to the deen, they will have left that. That generation will come. They will make that action. Yes, the actions will be upside down. Upside down. The main actions that you love, Rasulullah ﷺ, they will have left them. They were the sahaba that said, Ya Rasulullah, we are just doing that you encouraged us to do. Rasulullah ﷺ asked, what is it that you're doing? This, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, we're not doing anything. We just sat here, alhamdulillah, and due to your effect and your advice, we are sat here. And Allah's karam and Allah's mercy is raining down upon us that he's given you such a great Nabi to us. So when look at that tariqah, how to please, it's not our achievement that we've attained Allah's nearness. The achievement is this, that Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great Nabi like you, who has defined to us how to get close to Allah. So due to you, O Rasulullah, we are doing this action. They were sahaba. They said, no, it's Allah's fadl, we're doing this. They didn't say this. They said, Allah's fadl is greatest that Allah Ta'ala made us your ummati, O Rasulullah, that we learn from you. If you wasn't here, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then how would we learn how to get close to Allah? So first they were grateful for which ni'mah? That the sahaba did, that Allah, we are grateful to you, this greatest Nabi you gave to us as our master, as our teacher, this is the greatest Nabi. What do we do today, this ummah? Do we believe in that Nabi? At least correct your face, your appearance, at least correct your lives, at least do those actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves. Ramadan's passes, Hajj passes, Zilhajjah passes, Eid's pass, and never from our chin does the hair grow. The hairs don't grow on our chin. Those four or five hairs that Allah Ta'ala loves, Rasulullah loves, and they come automatically on our face, but we don't want to let them flow. Yes, we fight vigorously to take them off our face, and then we complain, Allah, we're not successful in the world, blow on us, recite something, blow on us, or go to that peer and he'll do dua for you and give you success. Allah says, Subhanallah, how Allah Ta'ala introduces himself, that I am your Rabb, your Lord, Rabbini, Qareebun Majeebun, Allah says, I am your Rabb, your Lord, that your Rabb, your Lord, Allah Ta'ala praises himself. More than that, is there anyone closer to you, Allah? And there's nobody more who will listen to you or accept your request than Allah, Allah says. Yes, because we are thieves. We don't want to go close to Allah. We don't want to do those actions that will attain Allah's blessings. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. Just a few points that came to my mind that I heard from the pious predecessors that I'm just presenting in your service. May Allah Ta'ala instill love for him and his deen. So, the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we're just on Allah's favor that Allah gave us such a great Nabi like you. So, but what are you doing? Rasulullah asked. They said, we are doing the dhikr of Allah, Ya Rasulullah. Soon as they said that, Rasulullah suddenly stopped. He said, wow, really you are doing dhikr of Allah? Yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Nabi was asking, and with surprise, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that such a great action you're doing whilst you're sitting here. Such a big action. And they were suddenly a bit taken aback or scared that maybe we made a mistake, that he's surprised with us. And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we are doing this. He said, no, I'm not asking you because maybe something wrong was being done, but rather I'm surprised. I'm surprised that such a great action you're doing, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of your companions in the heavens. Yes, and this action you are doing, alhamdulillah, sat in this masjid doing it now. Yes, 1500 years ago, Rasulullah ﷺ gave the good news that in Bolton, people be in a masjid. How many people are there? Tell me. And those people are doing this action amongst the fasad. This is the un-Islamic society today. There's such a great amal, such a great action of dhikr of Allah. The Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was asked by somebody that, tell us what's the greatest action? And he said, that I'm sad on your state. Have you not read the Quran? He replied. Do you not read the Quran? He said, yes, I do. He said that Allah is defined in the Quran. Yes, clearly Allah has explained, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. He replied, the Quran, do you understand Allah's words? That the greatest, best action in the eyes of Allah is what? The dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. So that amal, those people who do that, how many people are there today who do that? Allah, how many people are there? Tell me, I don't say anything. Just count for yourself. Count for yourself. And they can't say that the excuse that the action wasn't done whilst we were alive. It's there. How fortunate. How fortunate are those people, alhamdulillah, those people that from years they have this style in their life, that this amal is in their hands. And for some years, many is, this is the barakat of the pious predecessors that we have today. Our pious predecessors, their barakat that we are sat in to dhikr. Otherwise, how could we be enabled to do dhikr? Tell me. But we have no value, no appreciation, we have no passion, no desire, no taste for this. Such a great action today in the ummah. There are just a few people sat doing this amal in the ummah. Somebody's got this waswasa, this negative waswasa of the Quran. They don't understand Quran, they don't understand hadith. They understand the words of shaitan that zikr is nothing. It's not important. We don't need to do this. Run away from this. Or do this, or do this, or do this. But don't do zikr of Allah. Quran, shaitan doesn't let them understand Quran, and he doesn't let them understand hadith. Have I said anything from my own opinion today? Quran and hadith I've shared with you today. Quran and hadith. Quran has proven, Rasulullah proved that every action that will be accepted will be due to dhikr of Allah. Allah has announced it, that the biggest and greatest action is dhikr Allah. Allah has announced, Allah's Nabi has announced, that all barakat blessings will be in the action which is done, starting with dhikr of Allah. But we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. Such a great learning, such a great amal, and there's nobody to do it today. Nobody to do dhikr of Allah. Yes, there's nobody coming in the morning to the masjid of Allah when Allah is distributing his khairat, his treasures, his barakat, his blessings are being distributed. Nobody wants to come in the morning to the masjid. So Allah Ta'ala may give to all of us the tawfiq. For what? May Allah give us the tawfiq, ability to do what? Dhikr? No. To understand. Because our understanding has gone. We put a padlock on this understanding. Our brains. May Allah unlock our brains. The Rasulullah's words, we immediately understand and they penetrate our hearts. Let me see in the morning, whose heart these words have absorbed, these words have been absorbed. Who comes in the morning to pray Fajr Salah and joins in with the dhikr of Allah? Let's see how many people come. Then we'll realize that definitely Rasulullah's words, the ummah is there today who listens to his words and it affects them. Always remember, never have laziness come on this amal. Shaitan will stop you. Shaitan will stop you. Oh, no, you're sinful, don't do it. Totally not. Allah said himself, whatever is, whatever you are, however you are, if you come and sit in this amal action, Allah is happy with you. Your action will be accepted. Salah accepted, Hajj accepted, Quran accepted, recitation accepted. Yes, what a great deed is the dhikr of Allah. Guarantee is coming. So for this reason, the dhakireen, those who already have learned the dhikr of Allah, because nobody can be a person proper without dhikr of Allah. Wali Allah cannot be without dhikr of Allah. For this reason, it's been given that the dhakireen, those students, their ibadat are unique. Their ibadat are unique. Their du'as are unique. Yes, that for example, the people who are close to Allah, wali Allah, they raise their hands, their du'as are accepted. Why? Because they're connected to dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Yes, every action, if you do it in parallel with dhikr of Allah, it will be accepted. Accepted. How important, look at a door that Allah Ta'ala has opened, a great door for us. A great door that Allah Ta'ala has opened. It's a solution. All of the lacking hope, all of the giving up goes away. All of the negative doors of shaitan, they close. Subhanallah. Whatever there is, it's with the dhikr of Allah, with the remembrance of Allah. But today shaitan, he's stolen this from us, he's hidden this amal from us. Concealed it, Hazrat Shaykh al-Adi said, Ramdullah, that if you don't enable dhikr and bring it into your life, then the negatives won't disappear from your life. This is his tabliq. This is tabliq. Hazrat Shaykh al-Adi, this was his tabliq. Such a great, great hadith he recorded, great kitab for Zaili Zikr that he's written, recorded. That in this ummah, for them to become awake and alert, they should start doing dhikr of Allah, so that their amal will become accepted, so that their sorrows and distresses will disappear, their problems will disappear, and they'll become closer to Allah. Okay, so let's for a few moments do dhikr of Allah, because time is short. Recite the Rusli.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa zulmana wa hazlana wa jaddana. خطوة نعمدنا كل صليب دنا Allahumma inna la zikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim siratal ladzina an'amta alayhim shuhada wa salihin wa husna ibadatika. Allahumma istabilna bi sunnatihi wa nafa'na bi mahabbatihi wa ashanna fi zimratihi ya kareem. یا شافی المراض شفا مراض نا یا اللہ بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد و علیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا رحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین آمین.